You're listening to the hot new Q. QLJNRadio.com. Still the hottest, coolest radio station on the net. With award-winning talk show personalities and DJs. The Q.
You're listening to QLJNRadio.com.
The Hot New Q.
It's time for Final Authority, a biblically based program that speaks to questions from you, the listener, and addressing topics revealing truth and understanding of the scriptures in their appropriate context. The phone lines are open. If you'd like to speak to the host at any time during this live broadcast, dial 914-205-5481. Be sure to press 1. And now, here is the pastor of the Will of God Christian Center in Vallejo, California, Pastor Everett Robinson.
Well, praise God. I want to thank you for another live Monday. Thank you for tuning in to QLJNRadio.com. This is your host for the Final Authority. This is Pastor Everett Robinson. We air live every Monday, specific center time, from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., unless otherwise indicated. And today we got a hot topic, as it were, that we're going to deal with today. And it's entitled, What to Do When You Are Tempted. What to do when you are tempted? How do you handle temptation in your life? And so we're going to clearly define temptation. What does it mean to be tempted, or what have you? And so we're going to pray first, and we'll proceed from there. So join me in prayer, if you would. Father, we come before you in the holy, majestic name of our Son, Jesus the Christ. Acknowledge you as the Almighty God, living true God, most high, eternal God. We thank you for your goodness and the grace that you bestowed upon us through the person of thy Son, Jesus Christ. We have embraced your Son, Jesus the Christ, as our Lord, Savior, and Redeemer, for he has suffered and died for our sins and shed his blood for us and was buried and rose again. He's alive forevermore, and you appoint him as our great high priest. And we thank you, Father God, for the salvation and redemption that we have in Christ Jesus. We thank you for the word. We ask your word would abound and increase and multiply in us and through us. And I pray, oh God, those who tune into the show would be blessed, would be edified, built up, Father, become more established in the faith, thus in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Father, we give you praise and glory. Christ be glorified. In the holy, majestic name of Jesus the Christ, so be it and amen. Okay, well, again, thank you for tuning into the Final Authority. And so we're going to go to the Word of God. We're going to deal with the subject matter, what to do when you are tempted. When you are tempted. Basically, more often than not, most of us who live on this planet and who walk the earth and interact with people, be it at home, be it at work, be it in a neighborhood, be it in a community, or what have you, you are going to be tempted with something. You're going to be tested and tried with something. So what we want to do is deal with the aspects of temptation. We want to define the word temptation. Okay, so let's hear this definition of temptation, how we are defining the word temptation. Okay, because it can have shades of meaning. But one is to attract you to act contrary to reason. Attract you to act contrary to reason, to attract you to act contrary to sound doctrine or sound teaching, to attract you to act contrary to the Word of God, thus put you to the test. You're put to a test, and the test is to see if you're going to yield to the temptation. Also, it is defined as an enticement, something to entice you or to lure you to use your God-given gifts, abilities, and talents outside of God's will for your life. So it is dealing with actually a spiritual warfare. The devil wants to entice you and to tempt you and to test you so that you can succumb to what he's offering you to go against God. All right? And we can deal with that out of even the book of Genesis, the very first temptation that we know of that's clearly revealed in Scripture as we relate to what we call the book of Genesis, the book of the beginnings, Adam and Eve in the garden. And so just that alone, we see where God had created Adam, and he told Adam, Adam, you may freely eat of the trees of the garden. Freely eat. And God wanted him to till the ground and guard the garden, to keep it and to dress it and so on. So Adam's enjoying his relationship with God and fulfilling his responsibilities as a man in the image of God. And so Adam is going on enjoying God's creation. So God decided, you know what, I'm going to make Adam a helpmeet. The animal kingdom has companionships and relationships with one another. But Adam, there's no one that's fit and suitable to Adam, so I'm going to make a helpmeet for him. So God had caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he opened up his side, and he pulled off a rib, closed up the flesh, and God made a woman. And the Lord God had brought the woman unto the man to see what Adam would call her. And so Adam had called her, she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. And so at some point in time, there's this relationship between Adam and Eve, husband and wife. They're one flesh now. God joined them together. And so they're enjoying the relationship. And when you read the whole context of Genesis chapter 2 and 3 about this account here, it appears as if Adam had communicated to Eve what God had communicated to him. And so they are in the garden. And it appears as if they were together in the garden, and there was a serpent on the tree. Now, God had told Adam, Adam, you can freely eat of the trees of the garden, but there's a tree that's in the midst of the garden. It's called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So that's the tree. Do not eat of that one. God command, do not eat of. For the day, in the day that you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. There's going to be a death, a separation. And so at some point in time, as Adam and Eve were there in a relationship, there was a serpent on a tree. And so the serpent had got Eve's attention. And so the serpent began to speak to Eve. It was no shock. And so Eve began to communicate back to the serpent. So the serpent said to Eve, did not God say, you shall not eat of the trees of the garden? She said, no, that's not what God said. He didn't say we couldn't eat of the trees of the garden. What he did say, he said, we can freely eat of the trees of the garden, but he told us, God said, do not eat of the tree that's in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then so she said, God said, the day we eat thereof, we shall surely die. He said, do not eat it, don't touch it, lest you die. So I believe, it appears to me that Adam had pointed that out to Eve. And so Eve, at some point, Adam could have said, baby, don't even touch it. So nevertheless, so the serpent speaks back to Eve and says, well, you shall not surely die. You shall not surely die. For God does know that in the day you eat thereof, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And so the woman looked at the tree and saw that it was pleasant to the eye and a tree to be desired to make one wise. So she took of the tree and she did eat. And the Bible says in the context of Genesis, as you read the story, says that she also gave unto her husband with her and he did eat. Okay, so now I want to show you, as you read this in Genesis chapter 3, you can start at verse 1. First of all, she knew what God had said. It appeared within the text that God specifically and directly spoke to Adam. And when God spoke to Adam, Eve was not yet created. So after the fact, it appears that Adam most likely told Eve the story. And so she knew what God said based upon what her husband communicated to her. So now they're in the garden, so she's tempted. She's now put to the test. If she's going to honor her husband, that what he communicated to her, what God said, or is she going to go against what her husband established, what God has said, and go ahead and proceed to eat? And so she saw it was a tree. It was good for food, is pleasant to the eyes, verse 6, Genesis chapter 3, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. That's what the serpent said. And she did eat, and she gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So it appears that he was right there also. And the scripture says in verse 7, and the eyes of them both were opened after he ate it, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where are you? All right, so here, what? There's now a separation and a fear now. Because he knew that he ate of the tree that God told him not to. But the temptation started with Eve. She was tempted. She was tested. And she did not honor the word of God that was spoken to her by her husband. So we see that the first temptation that we see is Adam and Eve in the very garden. And we see, as we read through the scriptures, we see that temptation is common to man. That there is something that's going to attract you to act contrary to reason, contrary to sound doctrine, contrary to the word of God. You can be put to the test. Something to bait or lure or entice you to go contrary to the revelation of God for your life. So, we see there again, she did eat. She saw it's pleasant to the. See, everything that looked pleasant ain't pleasant for you. Everything that looked good to you ain't good for you. See, so this is what we see here, the very thing. There are people right now that wish they could go back and undo some things that they end up doing because of it looked good to the eyes, or it seemed good, it seemed harmless, like you're going to get away. God said you're going to surely die. It's going to be a problem here. And so I'm going to forward you into the New Testament, okay? And Paul makes a statement to the believers in Corinth. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he says, verse 13, there have no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, we're going to deal with this here. So you have to understand that this temptation, it's common. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to men. So it's common to be tempted. It's not sin. It's not contrary to God for you to be tempted. You're going to be tempted. Something's coming to put you to the test. Something's coming to try to lure you to act contrary to reason, contrary to sound doctrine, contrary to the word of God, to put you to the test. Will you stand? Will you resist? Will you overcome? Will you pass the test? That is determined by you. You see, it's either one or two things that you're going to be, that you're going to do whenever you are tempted. One or two things. And whatever you do, you did it. You're either going to resist it or you're going to yield to it. One or the other. One or the other you're going to do. So every day, throughout the day, you're going to be tempted with something. You're going to be enticed with something. You're going to be baited with something. You're going to be put to the test. All right? Remember, it's to act to attract you to act contrary. So right now, there are people right now that have messed up homes, lost their houses, their relationships, their marriages, their business, and so on. People who are in prison. People who are just totally lost because they yielded to a temptation and they took that gamble to act contrary to reason, sound doctrine, or the word of God. They were put to a test and they failed it and messed up miserably. There are people which they could go back and undo. All right, it's common. But I want you to know that there's hope for you in Christ Jesus. We've all been tempted. I've been tempted and tested and tried, and will continue to be tempted, tested, and tried. So I haven't passed every test. I've missed God at times. I came short, okay? So temptation, but God blesses you by his grace to enable you, to give you the grace to get back on your feet and get back on track. But notice what Paul says in 1 Corinthians. He says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. There's no temptation that has come your direction or seized you or come in your life that is not common. It's common to the human race to be tempted, to attract you to go contrary to reason, sound doctrine, and the word of God. It's common. And we're going to show you where Jesus Christ himself was tempted. Okay? Now, so, but Paul says here in 1 Corinthians, he says, there have no temptation taken you. So this is a spiritual warfare. You are in a warfare. The devil wants to entice you, and he'll use whoever he can use, all right, to entice, to bait you, or to give you some type of influence in your life to get you to go contrary to the will of God, the revelation of God for your life. You're put to the test. But it says, so it's common to man. But it says, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able. God will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able. Well, if God will not allow me or you or us to be tempted above our ability, that would mean he would then know whether or not I have the ability to resist and overcome that temptation. God, the temptation, before it gets to me, it must go through God first. It must be put in check by God. And if you allow me to say it this way, it must be weighed by God to determine whether or not I have the ability to resist it and overcome it. Well, it says God is faithful. So there's nothing that comes your way that God will not allow you, that God has not weighed it out and saw to it that you have the ability to resist, to overcome. So again, God did not make a robot out of you. He wants you to choose him on your own volition, your own will, that you make him a priority, that you love him enough to overcome and resist the temptation that's coming your way. Okay? So he says, there has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow or permit you to be tempted above that which you will, your ability. So any temptation that comes your way, God saw to it and weighed it out that you do have the ability to resist it, to overcome it. It's a matter now of your choice. No matter the nature of the temptation, no matter what test it is, God has already put it in check, if you would, and saw to it you have the ability to resist it. Okay? It's common to man. All right? But now also, but the rest of that verse, God says he's faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. So, not only did God put it in check and saw to it you have the ability to resist, because the temptation is not beyond your ability that God gave you to use for the glory to overcome it. You see, but you have to understand that when there's a temptation, God always will provide a way to escape. He'll allow you to be tempted and tested so long at the right, precise moment, God will make a way to escape. He'll give you an exit door out of it. Okay? Now, if God says he is faithful, and he is, he watches over his word to perform his word, no matter the nature of the temptation, no matter how many times you may have even used temptation in your past, no matter how bad you may have messed up, if that temptation comes again, you have the ability to resist that. It's a matter of not allowing the devil to convince you that you can't overcome. It's not a matter of ability. It's a matter of choice now. That's what we're looking at here. So God will always make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. God will allow you to endure so long, and then he gives a way out. Okay? There's always a way out. Now, what you don't want to do is go and set yourself up with temptation. Okay, for an example. If you know you're going to a club, you know that's what they do. They're drinking. You know they it's not a spiritual environment for you. This is where they're picking up on each other, who can get who, and all this other stuff. They got all this music. Everything is sensual. Everything is devilish and subtle and all this stuff. And all this stuff, and all this enticement going on. If you go there, you already know what the environment is calling for. It's calling for yielding to the flesh. It's not calling for edification of your spiritual faith and growth and development in Christ. That environment is not designed to glorify Christ. It's not designed to strengthen you. It's designed to keep you under or get you under and to weaken you to get you to yield to the flesh. So if you know that you have these issues, why would you go to an environment where you know what that environment is basically set up to do? Okay? So you don't want to set yourself up. So if you know that where you're going is going to be only yielding, then you are going to go do what you choose to do, contrary to reason and sound doctrine and the Word of God. You are going to a place where you know what's going to go down, and that's what you're doing. So you're setting yourself up for failure, okay? You already know that if you had a problem. See, for me, I don't drink personally, okay? I'm not a drinker of alcohol. So I didn't go into a grocery store and walk down the aisle all kind of alcohol. It doesn't bother me. It's not a temptation for me. Somebody else it's a trigger for them, and it's an enticement. If they go to the grocery store, they need to stay out of the alcohol beverage aisle. You go in the aisle, you look at it, oh, wow, yeah, they're going to get you a drink tonight. All these stuff going, well, you can just go and have a little private drink between you and yourself. You set yourself up because you're going to tempt yourself, because all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So you're dealing with the world, the flesh, and the devil. So, all right, now, so we saw here very clearly in the book of 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, temptation is common, but God will not allow you. He's so faithful, he will not allow you to be tempted above your ability. But God will always make, whenever there's a temptation, whenever you're put to a test, God always make a way to escape, an exit, so you can get out, that you may be able to bear it or endure it. See, so God will allow you at the right time to go through the temptation, to be tested, at the right time make a way to escape. That's God. Now, what to do when you are tempted? Well, first of all, what I want to do is I want to give you the perfect example of what our Lord, Savior, and Redeemer Jesus Christ did when he was tempted by the devil. Okay, so we see that the temptation to go contrary to reason and sound doctrine and the Word of God. We see what the Word of God says about that over here in Matthew chapter 4. We see in chapter 3, the latter part of chapter 3, that Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. And once he was baptized, once he came out of the water, the Holy Spirit came upon Christ. The heaven was open, and the Father spoke from the heavens, saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I will please." Then immediately, it says in Matthew chapter 4, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, unto a desert, to be tempted of the devil. So we see that the devil had tempted him. All right, so the devil came to put him to a test. The devil presented some things to him for him to attract him to act contrary to reason, sound doctrine, and the Word of God. But we see, it says this, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. So we see that Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Now his body is going through this hunger again, got this craving to eat. And the Bible says in verse 3, and when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." All right? So now, here, the tempter came to him, is enticing him now. So he's trying to lure Christ to follow his words. Oh, you hungry. I want you to cater now to a natural human appetite to what I want you to do. So the enemy always have an agenda, all right? His purpose is to lead you contrary to reason, sound doctrine, and the word of God. His whole agenda is to bait you to go contrary to the will of God for your life, to get you to use your God-given gifts, talents, and abilities outside of God's will for your life. And so here's the tickler coming in, all right? God didn't tell Christ to command the stones to be made bread. The devil did. So the devil has his way of cunningly tempting you and enticing you. So he can come to you in thought process. Also, he can come to you through people. All right, so there are various ways the enemy will come and manifest himself. All right? But watch this. So Jesus answered back to the devil in verse 4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out the mouth of God. Now notice how Jesus handled the temptation. Notice what he did when he was tempted by the devil. He resorted to the word of God. He answered and said, it is written, and then proceeded to quote what was written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out the mouth of God. So, the devil's tempting him, trying to get him to act upon his own words, upon his words to Christ, but he says, that's the words of the devil. I know what God said. It's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. So Christ's commitment and dedication was to the word of God. So he wants to live by what God says, not by the temptation the devil's offering him, because he is hungry and he wants to cater to the flesh. There's nothing wrong with eating because we all eat, but at this point, the devil's trying to get Christ to lower Christ to honor his word, just to go contrary. So then when Christ said he lived by the word of God, what happened? Verse 5, then the devil taken him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. All right? On the highest point of the temple, and said unto him, oh, well, if you are the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest at any time you dash your foot against the stone. So here's Jesus now is taken up to the holy city. The devil sets him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said, if you are the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it is written. So now the devil said, okay, you committed to what is written. Then the devil then began to quote scriptures. The devil knows the word of God. But understand that the devil never quotes scripture for your edification, spiritual growth, and development. There's a twist to this. The Lord never told you to go out and tempt him and start jumping off of high buildings to see if angels are going to protect you. No, absolutely not. So the devil said, well, all right, if you are the Son of God, then, all right, you're living by the word of God, all right, then it's written, and the devil was quoting out of Psalms 91. He, God, the Lord God of Israel, shall give his angels charge concerning you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest at any time you dash up for the sun. Yeah, but the Lord didn't tell you to jump off the building. The Lord didn't tell you to even go to the top of the building, to go ahead and jump off a building. The devil's doing that. But this was the temptation. It was a test. What? Is he going to stick to the word of God, or is he going to succumb and say, okay, all the people will be in awe if I jump off this building and I land safely. Oh, that's going to blow everybody's mind. Oh, man, I will have so much power. People will come to me for all these things. What's what Christ says? He says, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God. You have to know how to rightly divide the word of God. See, what you're going to do if you don't even know the word of God? What are you going to do? I was talking to an evangelist, and she decided that she's going to marry this young man who didn't know Christ. She liked him. He was nice. He wined her and dined her. He had a lot going on, very pleasant, nice personality and all that. And so she decided she's going to marry him, even though he did not know Christ, even though he had not come to true biblical repentance and faith in Christ. In fact, he let her know that he wasn't going to believe on Christ, that he just who he is. But, you know, he had no problem with her going to church. He even came to church with her a number of times. But she decided she's going to marry him, knowing that she should not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Why? He's alienated from God. He's spiritually dead. He's not walking in the Word of God. He does not have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And now he is in the kingdom of darkness, and she's going to join herself up in a marriage with a man that don't know the Lord God, don't know Christ as Lord, Savior, and Redeemer. And so she did. And it seemed to be good. Boy, she said, hell broke out. It was so bad because he didn't know Christ. What came out of him and what he did, when I say she suffered greatly, but she was determined to still marry him. Contrary, it seemed to attract her to go contrary to reason, sound doctrine, and the Word of God. And she was put to the test, but she ended up going against reason, sound doctrine, and the Word of God. It seemed good, but the hell she went through was not worth the decision to marry that man. Well, we're going to take a break. Stay tuned in to the Final Authority. We'll see you after the break.
Friend.
listening to the hot new Q. QLJNRadio.com. Still the hottest, coolest radio station on the net. With award-winning talk show personalities and DJs. The Q.
All right, well, we're back at QLJNRadio.com, the final authority. Also, I want to mention that if you do have a question or you have a comment you want to make or express a different view, please feel free to call 914-205-5481. Again, to ask a question, make a comment, or express a different view other than the host, which happened to be me, please feel free to call 914-205-5481. After you dial that number, immediately press the number 1, and my producer will connect you to my line. I'll welcome you to the final authority. Okay, so let's pick back up before we take our break. We're dealing with what to do when you are tempted. So I left off what we're talking about, you know, a particular evangelist that I knew, a female evangelist. She had married a gentleman, and he didn't know Christ. He was not walking in the Word. He seems to be very pleasant and nice. All those things are wonderful. The natural, what you call, attributes to seem very kind and considerate. But what happened was he did not have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. He did not have the fruit of the Spirit in his life. He was alienated from God and walking in spiritual darkness. And she walked in the light, so she joined herself with a man, and she decided to go ahead on and get this man that she knew that was not walking with Christ, and she knew it. But she said she just wanted to do it. So she did it, and the unbelievable hell that came up was just so torturing for her. Said she would never, ever even consider doing something like that ever again in her life. Now, it may seem good, just like I told you, as we talked in the outset of the program, where it seemed to be pleasant to the eyes and the tree to be desired. But God said, don't do it. And so there's consequences and repercussions for going against God. God's looking out for your good and for your best. But because you don't see it, you decide to go ahead and go forward with it. And God said, walk by faith in my word. Trust me. God will make provision for you. And so then you start this going contrary to reason, contrary to sound doctrine, contrary to the word of God, and you put to a test, and now you end up putting yourself in the position and got all kind of regrets and suffering all kind of consequences, all because you went against God based upon your emotions and feelings and your impulses for how you feel. Oh, he makes my heart palpitate. Oh, he's going to do this, he's this, he's that. And make sure you know, you get with him and you with, this happens. Even guys who married an unsaved woman. Oh, man, bad stuff. So my thing is to look at the word of God, what God's word says. So you know what is enticing you to go contrary to the word of God. Here you know you got a record deal going, but you know they want you to compromise your faith. They want you to sing songs that does not glorify the Lord. You know it is all contrary to your conviction of your faith. But they're making an offer to you. They want you to have this contract. They want to offer you all this money, and the money, you know, looks good to you. It's pleasant to the ears and to be desired to make you, as they say, financially independent and prosperous and successful. But you know it's contrary to the conviction that the Spirit of God put in your heart and in your soul. And you have a conviction of spirit. Don't do it. But the money's good. I need the money. Are you going to trust God, or are you going to go forward to be conformed to the world and compromise your faith? Friendship with the world, the Bible, James said, is enmity against God. So you want to be a friend with the world and accept what they're offering and compromise your faith and commitment to Christ for money? Man, this is so you're tempted, you're tested, you're trying. It's to attract you to act contrary to reason, sound doctrine, and the word of God, to put you to a test, to bait you to use your God-given gifts and talents and abilities to the glory of Christ. It gets me when you hear, for example, you go to some of these award-winning events where they have for these celebrities, and you got some of these most vulgar rappers and these songs that are just so contrary to the Christian faith and the teachings of the Holy Scriptures, and nowhere near glory to Christ, and say, well, I want to thank God and give God glory for, well, I don't know, what God are you talking about? Are you talking about the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you talking about, you want to thank God for how he blessed you? I don't know what God they're talking about, because it can't be the God of the Bible, because you're not glorifying that God. You want to say the word thank God. Have you come to true biblical repentance and faith and trust in Christ? So I'm talking to believers now. But anyway, let me get back over here to Matthew chapter 4. See, because we're all temptation is common. However, there might be something that's tempting to you that might not be tempting to me. There might be something that's tempting to me that's not tempting to you. But the fact is, we're all tempted with something. Something's tempting us. We're put to a test. Okay, so in Matthew chapter 4, I left off where Jesus said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So we'll go to verse 8. Again, the devil taketh him up, Christ, into an exceeding high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said to Christ, all these things will I give you if you fall down and worship me. Jesus said to him, get out of my face. Get hence, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve. All right, so we see that what to do when you're tempted. Well, Jesus stood on the word, and he quoted the word. He spoke the word. I think that what needs to be done is when you're tempted, you need to speak the word. Because if you don't, then that means you might be pondering and taking consideration, yielding to the temptation, something to seem to attract you to act contrary, to act or behave contrary to reason, sound doctrine, and the word of God. Something to bait you to use a God-given gift and ability and talent. The gifts and talents that God has given you, the ability God has given you, is for his glory, not for the use and exaltation of the world. If you know that what's being offered you, that might be very attractive, all right? Some people, it's very attractive. Oh, I'll give you so much money. Come on, man, do this drug deal. You know, a drug deal? Man, I can't be doing that. Oh, man, nobody going to know. See, I'm going to give you so much money, man. More money than the norm. And now you start considering that. Why? Because it seemed to be attractive. Oh, yeah, man. Man, I can get another car. I can put more money in the house. I can put more money. What I can do is to attract you. It's to entice you, to bait you to go contrary, to use your God-given gifts and ability to serve the devil. That's what it's about. So, again, we see Jesus was tempted. We see also in Hebrews chapter 4. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 4. And we probably end up doing part 2. So in Hebrews chapter 4, this is where it talks about Christ, that he was a high priest and so on. Okay, so I'm going to read, start at verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, the scripture said that Jesus was tempted in all points. What we just read to you out of Matthew chapter 4, you can also read in Luke chapter 4, where Luke records the same temptations. And we see that Jesus Christ, that he was tempted. But yet, how did he handle the temptation? What did he do when he was tempted? He stood on the word of God, and he quoted what God said. The devil came, and then he put the word of God against the temptation. So I think overcoming the temptation is your will to honor God more than the temptation, to honor God more than what seems to be attractive to you, because the temptation, again, is to attract you. Why? Because if it's not attractive and doesn't seem something that could benefit you, then it wouldn't necessarily be a temptation. But it attracts you to act contrary to sound reason, sound doctrine, and the word of God, you're put to the test to bait you to use your God-given gifts and abilities and talents outside of God's will. In other words, it's getting you to go contrary to the revelation of God for your life. Jesus was tempted in all points, and he kept using the word, it is written, it is written, it is written. He kept coming. So every temptation, if you say, stand firm in your faith in the word of God, it is written, and stand firm in that, you overcome that temptation. So, but it also says that he can identify with us because he was tempted like us, but he was without sin. But he tells us, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So let's say you had these temptations. You messed up. You came short. You messed up royally, as it were. Man, you can go boldly to the throne of grace, not the throne of condemnation and judgment and wrath, but God wants to offer you grace and mercy. Get back on your feet. Get back on track. Get back in the word. Get back in prayer. Get back in the fellowship of a body of believers that truly is centered on glorifying Christ. Okay? Now, so we dealt with those temptations from that standpoint about it's common to man. We're showing you that God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above your ability. We also show you that God will always make a way to escape. We also showed you that Christ, how he handled temptation, what he did when he was tempted, the word. We showed you in the book of Hebrews, he was tempted in all points, okay, just like us. He's tempted in all points. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to take you over to the book of James, okay? Now, God has a promise to us, and he says, I'm going to show you something over here in the book of James. And I'm going to read verse 2, 3, and 4 right here. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall or encounter various temptations. That's tests and trials. Knowing this, that the trying or the testing of your faith worketh patience. So your faith is going to be tested. Through what? Tests and trials. It's common to man. Temptations, tests, and trials. Knowing this, that the testing of your faith works patience. God's trying to work patience in you. If you don't have patience, you're more so prone to act on your feelings and your flesh and your impulses because God is not doing it the way I want it when I want him to do it. So you get impatient and you act contrary and you go for something that God says, don't go for that. It's not the timing for you to do that now. No, stay away from that. No, don't go there. No, don't do that. No, don't say that. Knowing this, that the testing of your faith worketh patience. Patience is the ability to remain the same under pressure. Patience is the ability to endure through the process and beyond the breaking point. Just when you would break, you get beyond that because you have the grace of Christ to strengthen you to enable you to keep moving forward. So it says, let patience have a perfect work. So let patience. The patience will develop through test and trial. But if you keep yielding and yielding and yielding, you never develop patience because you're used to and acclimated and accustomed to yielding to your own fleshly desires, even though in your heart you know that this is contrary to God. You know this is contrary to reason and sound doctrine. So let me go further now. So James says in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 12, that blessed is the man that endureth temptation, that's test and trial, for when he is tried or tested, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him. So God's a promise. There's a reward that God's offering you for those of us who endure temptation. You got to outlast it. You have to go beyond. It's designed to break you. The devil wants to break you down to go contrary to God. But God wants you to stand firm in your faith, stand on the word of God, speak the word of God, resist the temptation, overcome it, and keep moving forward. There's a reward for you. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. I'm blessed. For when he's tried, he shall receive a crown of life. So you're going to receive a blessing. It's a certain crown that God has for you that endureth temptation, not the man that falls into it and rambles all across the temptation. Oh, no, endure that thing. This says in verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. God's not tempting you with evil. That's the work of the devil. We saw when the Spirit led Christ into the wilderness and the devil came, and when the tempter came to him, he said, so the devil's speaking to your head. He's speaking to your mind. He's speaking to your emotions. He got some things to say to you, and he has some things to offer you, but it's never for your good. The ultimate thing is for you to bow down to him. Because if you remember, the last thing that in Matthew chapter 4, the devil said, all these things will I give you. He got some things to offer you. There's some things he makes look very interesting. All these things will I give you if you fall down and worship me. Or the devil won't. You are tempted and you are tested. Now, he offers some good things. But see, he don't show you the end result of the things. There are folk right now that's in jail and prison that had they, in their sober mind, if they had saw the end result, they would have avoided yielding and doing the thing that they did. Because a person who is a sober mind, person who wants to enjoy the freedom of living in society and enjoying life, they don't want to be cooped up in some prison cell. If you have a right mind and sober-minded and a balanced, intelligent person, don't want to end up in no prison. But what happened? Most folk end up doing something that land them there. Okay? So, he said, let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. So God's not tempting you. It's the devil that's tempting you to go contrary to reason, sound doctrine, and the word of God. All right? Now, God allows it, but he already put it in check, so you have the ability to overcome. Will you stand firm in your faith and honor God even in the face of things that's attracting you to act contrary or to behave contrary to reason, sound doctrine, and the word of God? So it says, let the man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. There's something within you that was attracted to that thing, and you have chosen to go and yield to that thing because it was a own desire, your own lust or desires, and enticed, that very thing. And when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. So when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. So you know now, you didn't conceive, you didn't gave into it, sin. And sin, when it is finished, when it takes its full course, when it's finished, it got to its finish line, it brings forth death. Then he says, do not err, my beloved brethren. He said, don't err. So here's James exhorting the believers who believe on Christ not to err, not to go into those areas of temptation, to give in to those unlustful things that's enticing you, to give in to the temptation. He wants you to endure the temptation, to have a blessing and a reward from God, that God will honor you and accept that by faith. So you're going to have to stand your ground. Again, temptation. So we're going to do with other temptation that came about, King David, when he was tempted, how he gave in and messed up. We're going to show you Joseph, how Joseph, he was tempted really bad. His case was really, woo. A really intense temptation. And he fled. He had to run. Sometimes you got to run away from a temptation to save your own life. Run away to honor God. If running away from a temptation is an honor to God, you need to run away. Some stuff you can't stay there and just reason with, because the temptation is right there to get you, to take you there. Man, I got to go. I can't stay here. I got to run. All right, take off. So, some things you got to really flee from. Run for your life. All right? We deal with situations where there's temptations, and we have other who stood their ground. And the primary example we show you was Christ. Stood his ground. He did not give in to the temptation. But we're going to do part one and part two. And so we're going to deal with all these various aspects of temptation. All right? So, again, let's go over this again. What to do when you are tempted. Now, there are various degrees and different aspects of temptation, okay? Some people are tempted to lie on their taxes. You need to avoid that. You don't need to lie on your taxes. You need to lie to get more money. That means you're not trusting God, all right? So things like this happens even to believers. Using your position and power to get over on people. Unfortunately, you have people with our leaders in church that use their position and their power and their eloquence and their articulation to try to extract money out of people. The ministry is for the glory of Christ and to serve the people, not to take advantage of the people. But the temptation to do those things is prevalent because we see it being done so many times, you know. Then you got those who use their position of power to get over on people sexually. We got that. We got predators. They're in high position of power, and not to say it's not done in any other, because you got it done in a lot of evangelical churches. You have it done in Pentecostal churches. Then you have it in Roman Catholic churches. We see a lot of priests, and they have these positions and use their position of power and get involved sexually with these little boys and take advantage of them and abuse them sexually. We see that happening, you know. So what to do when you're a tempted man? You better get to the Word of God. You better stand firm in your faith and with the Word of God. Says, do you really believe God? Do you really trust God? All right? To say that you really believe God, you trust God, is evidenced by the decisions that you make. When you make decisions that's contrary to God, and you give in to the attraction to act contrary to sound reason, to sound doctrine, to the Word of God, you give in to the enticements of the flesh, it's evident that you are not trusting, you're not believing God. You're going in hoping you don't get the consequences as a result of what you're doing. And the Bible tells you that we just read in the book of James that every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when sin, when it's conceived, it brings forth what? Death. All right. So that's it. It brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. So it can really affect you in your life. So again, making decisions to honor God even in the face of the temptation, no matter the nature of the temptation, no matter who the temptation is coming through. Some people are more prone to yield to a temptation because of who a particular person may be. A position of power, a notable person, it doesn't make any difference. You don't need to compromise your faith in the biblical Christ that laid his life down for you and died for your sins. He willingly laid his life down for you. Now, remember, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's praying, Lord, let this cup pass away from me. The hour of his testing, the time had come. And he said, Lord, let this cup pass away from me. Tempted. He was tempted to go no further. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And see, the moment you start having your will be done and things that you know that's contrary, you're not trusting God. Christ trusted God even through his suffering. Not only through his temptation, but he trusted God even through the suffering of being betrayed, turned over to the Romans, to going from judgment hall to judgment hall, unjust imprisonment, and ultimately beaten and nailed to a cross. And he went through that willingly, knowing that he was going to go for that, but knowing that when he died, there's going to be a resurrection. He's going to be reunited back with his Father in heaven. He knew that. So the joy of going there, who for the joy that was set before him, he despised the shame, and now he's set at the right hand of God, the Father. So Christ went through it. So he was tempted in all points. We see that just like we are, but the difference is he was without sin. He never sinned. We sinned. We come short. And this is why when we come short, we go to God and say, Father, I came short. I missed the bullseye. I acted contrary to reason, sound doctrine, and to your word. And I come before you, Father, with a humble heart, and I confess my sins, Lord Jesus. And I agree with you that this is sin, and I confess it based upon of what you've done for me on the cross of Calvary, and I receive your blood to cleanse me from all sin and all unrighteousness. All right? So it's important. If you did miss God, God's grace can forgive you, and the grace of God will teach you to deny ungodliness, worldly lust, to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's what the Word of God does. Well, the time has come. We closed out, and time is up. Well, we have to see you next week, next Monday, for part two, what to do when you are tempted. God bless you. Until then, stick to the Word of God, which is the final authority. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Final Authority. We hope you enjoyed our program. Join us again next Monday, right here on the hot new Q, QLJNradio.com.